You're listening to Live Notes with Larissa, a podcast that dives into the worlds of fine arts industry professionals. After years of working in the music industry as an arts administrator and musician, I have gained many friendships and insider knowledge about the inner workings of the arts. Join me as I sit down with guests from many different backgrounds. We will learn more about their careers, their passions, and the importance of the arts in today's culture. Some of my talks will include deep conversations with musicians, performers, educators, composers, conductors, visual artists, and arts managers. The arts bring us joy, help us to express ourselves, and voice societal truths that go beyond words. As a classically trained violinist with a master's degree in arts administration, I have met many individuals who contribute to these performing arts in different capacities. Join me as we take a deep dive into the world of the arts and talk with the creators who make it all happen. Connect with me on Instagram at larissa.fall and learn more at my website, larissafall.com. Happy listening! Today's guest is Bryn Onica. Bryn is a content creator and artist with a background in theater and dance. She has a love of retro, vintage, and colorful style. If you'd like to check out her blog and shop, go to brynonica.net, B-R-Y-N-N-E-A-N-I-K-A. This live interview was held on Instagram Sunday, December 6th at 5:30 p.m.
Oh, my name is Bryn. I'm like a recent grad from Hope College. I graduated in 2019 and I did a double major in dance and theater. So post college, I was teaching dance and I was kind of working on my fashion blog, but I hadn't done much with that at the time. I just didn't really have a lot of time to do it. But because of the quarantine and COVID, I actually got laid off from my teaching job. So I had to discover other things while being unemployed. And so I ended up being able to put more time into doing content creation. And basically that's like where you can take pictures for fashion products or any kind of lifestyle products, and you can promote those. But I also just use it as a creative outlet for photography, editing, styling, all sorts of stuff like that. So that's kind of like a summarized thing about me, so to speak. So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
So you do so many things and I'm super impressed. And Bryn and I actually met at Hope one night. We were both working as stage managers for, I don't even remember what production it was. It was, I think it might've been jazz.
Yeah. Or it was, right? So I don't know if you could hear me because of the Wi-Fi.
It cut out a little bit.
Okay. Didn't we meet at the Holland Symphony? We were working backstage.
Well, I played in the Holland Symphony, but I think we met two times doing those things.
Yeah.
So like it was one time, random concert we met, and then the next time we saw each other, I was like going back and forth from playing in the symphony to walking backstage and talking to you maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. So, I mean, Larissa too is just so incredibly talented with her violin and she just knows so many different instruments and I'm always impressed by the stuff she can do. But it's funny that we met kind of in your field, so to speak, because it's really impressive. I was just doing my campus job at the time, which was doing like theater tech and things like that. So that was kind of my background because of theater
stuff. I actually didn't know that you were in theater at all. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I did. So the overall BA for a theater major, it means that you don't you can have a focus in something. So I was focusing in performance, but you also have to be well-rounded. So you have to do the tech stuff like lighting and sound design and costume design. So I had to take classes in all of those.
Wow.
So I also got a campus job doing that, which was attached to the major, which was super nice because then I could get experience for my job for the future. So that's kind of where that all came from. But
yeah,
that's kind of how that leads me to here in some ways. But
yeah.
And
can you talk a little bit about dance for you and what kinds of dance you studied at Hope?
Yes. A little bit about my background in dance. I started pretty late for a dancer. A lot of dancers start when they're three, and you kind of have to start young so your body learns how to do certain things. So I started at age 12, and it took a long time to catch up, to be honest with you. I was behind in my technique, and so it wasn't until being in college that things like actually picked up for me. So it was just, the training was a lot more serious. And my other training at my studio, I learned how to love dance, but I didn't really learn the ins and outs of technique until I got to my major in undergrad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So training wise, it was a lot to pick up on. And I always felt just like I was behind. And I was like an underdog in those ways. So that was like a tough, like mental thing to break, but, you just kind of have to get to a point where you're comfortable with learning and failing in front of people and being okay with that. But that took a long time. So, and it still is something I'm working on for sure, but, that's what I love about being an artist is that you're always learning and sometimes your failures can bring you to something new, you know? But it's always a journey. It's always a journey to be confident in yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I resonated with a lot of things you said. And actually, I kind of feel the same way about violin. A lot of violinists start when they're like 5 years old. And to be, you know, super advanced in your technique, like you said, for dance, you just have to start young to get the techniques into your body because dance is so physical, but the violin is also physical. And the way you move your bow and the techniques of your left hand and all this stuff. So I kind of relate to you, I think. And majoring in the arts and music pushed me out of my comfort zone. And you have to put yourself out there. If you're on stage, everyone's watching you, everyone's listening to you, and it can be really nerve-wracking. And if you make a mistake, you can, you know, I can sometimes take that very personally, but I think it's made me grow as a person, like you were saying, in confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you pretty recently did some stuff where you were the solo artist in performances, right? In Grand Rapids?
Yeah. Ooh. For the Vintage Parlor Orchestra. That was definitely probably one of the hardest things I've done, but one of the most rewarding things I've done because you're putting yourself out there, but playing that was just such a cool experience to have an orchestra accompany you. It was really cool. Yeah. So that's Bryn, so question cool. for you.
Yeah.
One of the questions I sent you, I'm reading it over again. A lot of the arts that you've been involved in, dance, visual art, I would say even what you're doing on Instagram is art with your photography, with branding, and how you present that to the world and express yourself. And then your business that you started, how do you think all those different things have combined to give you unique skill sets?
To be honest, I feel like it's one of those things. I mean, I feel like I've been more of like a jack of all trades, master of none sort of thing. Because there's a lot of things I'm very interested in, but there's nothing that I'm like, that's all I do, and I'm like the sole master of that specific thing. But I think it's just like a mixture of, like, as an artist, I'm always trying to play with new concepts, and different things intrigue me all the time. Like, I had so many different interests growing up as a child. I thought I wanted to be a visual artist when I was in elementary school, and then I went through an animal phase and wanted to be a marine biologist, which, Lord have mercy if I ever did that. Yeah,
that's really funny, because I wanted to do that at one point too.
Isn't that, see, you just never know, like, that, like, childhood passions are so funny to look back on, because sometimes they stick, and then other times they don't at all. So, yeah. I don't know, that's just one thing. So I remember I wanted to be an artist in elementary school, and I used to draw and paint all the time. And then another thing that I think is interesting is I grew up playing sports my whole life. So I still ski today. I started at like age 3. I played soccer from like age 3 or 4 to like 15. And then I also did like softball, lacrosse, all that stuff. So I think that's where like dancing comes in, because it was something athletic, but it's also artistic. And then musical theater is like a whole nother thing. But there's just little pieces from my childhood that I feel like really fit in today. Like when I was also like really little, and I would set up these small like little pretend stores in my house, and my parents would give me like fake money so that I could like give them, or they could like buy things. And it was just all pretend, obviously, but that was something I loved to do as a child. So that's just another thing too. That I used to do. So yeah.
And now you started your own business.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny thing is that I feel like when I get an idea, I just like go for it, and that can sometimes go well, and other times, it'll flop a little bit. And I think that is part of like being an artist, and also just trying something new in general. But I just like a couple weeks ago, I really wanted to add something to my online branding with content creation. And I was like, well, I love making things. I used to play with Sculpey all the time as a child, and I'd make like oven bake figurines and things like that. And so then I was like, well, I've seen people making earrings. I love earrings. I love like different styles and textures that people are using. And that was something I thought I could play around with and kind of make retro stuff that kind of matches my style. So I started from there. And the first time that I like tried launching it, I was trying to do a vintage shop with it too. And it was a complete flop, to be honest with you. So I kind of had to start over, revamp everything, ask for feedback, and just like be humble to ask for all of that. And then I've started to make different earring sets that are based on the Enneagrams for fun. And I've been going from that since. So yeah.
That's so cool. I actually, that reminds me of a question I thought of, because I was looking at your page and looking at the different earring designs that you had, and I thought that was so creative to have the Enneagram and different styles for each number. So I was wondering what inspired you, because I remember, I think you're wearing your one right now, the black and white.
Yeah.
I'm actually a one on the Enneagram.
No way!
Which is funny.
Oh my God.
But like, why did you choose black and white?
Yeah,
for the one.
That is,
and then for the others, what was some of the inspiration as well behind like the two, and why it's, was it brown and pink?
It's kind of this like clay red color, and then there's like, it's like a creamy white and brown, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the three colors I chose for the two. But for the one, I know like ones are typically or stereotypically, because like not everybody fits in these boxes, but ones are like very like black and white thinkers. They want to reform things. They're perfectionists. So I wanted something that shows very much like the color resemblance with that, of like black and white showing like right versus wrong, or like one thing versus the other. And I tried to make the structures of those things like very much show like the difference between one and the other. So there's like a couple of them that like one whole earring is black and one is white. Just to show that stark kind of perfectionism. But that being said too, I just wanted to throw out there as well, like, I think people also like when they compare themselves in the form of an Enneagram, like, they kind of put themselves in those boxes, which at the same time I wanted people to avoid, but, it also just like brings something to them that it's like, oh, I like, I relate to that. And so I wanted to bring that to people because I think Enneagrams are fascinating. So, yeah.
Me too. And it's so funny because I actually, when I looked at your design for the one, I was like, wow, I really relate to this. Because so I tend to, and like you said, I don't want to put myself in a box. Mm-hmm. And I think the Enneagram is a good guide for like, okay, yeah, I relate to this in some ways, but in other ways, not necessarily. But in general, I am very, like, black and white. This is how it should be. This is how it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And I'm a planner, so your straight lines and just the symmetry of your designs of the one, I was like, wow, this, like, and my closet in general, not today, but I usually wear black or, you know, some monochrome color. So wow, I relate to her one design so much right now. It was funny.
Oh, I love that. And something I found to be interesting too is a lot of the ones that I know are super good at like those specific things that they do. Because when you guys do it, like you go all the way for it. Like, you are going to do your best at perfecting that thing the best you can. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you're as talented as you are as a musician, because you guys really try to refine every single detail of what you do. So that's like a whole nother aspect of that. So it just makes so much sense now, because I didn't know what your Enneagram was. So.
Yeah.
I think that's so fun. Really interesting.
Do you mind me asking what you are?
Oh, no, not at all. So the last time I took it, I think I was a 2-wing 3.
Okay.
I think that might have changed a little bit, but I know like the 2 is the helper, very much like supporting others, trying to like put other people first, and it's kind of like their way of like avoiding their own issues. And a lot of their like main problems too is that like 2s don't really ask for help when they get overwhelmed. Like another downside is like they can be possessive, but they're also like very encouraging people, and like uplifting, and they're always trying to help people that they love. So yeah. That's like a 2. And then the 3 is like the achiever. So, very like good people skills and can like charm people. They also like really go for what they want, and they're going to do it, and be hardworking about it. And I'm trying to think of other things too. I like their problems is like being vulnerable with other people, and they have like a lot of walls that they put up, except for like very few people that they would actually trust that are kind of like their inner circle. But it's hard to be vulnerable and they hide behind their work, and they make that their value. So those are like the two, those are kind of the ins and outs of the two, and the wing three. So yeah, I feel like I'm some weird mix because I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. What do you think for your earring design for the two, how did you choose those colors?
I wanted to pick colors that were really like warm and inviting. So I don't know. I just love like cozy, earthy tones, like brown and red and orange, like things that remind me of the fall. So I was kind of trying to debate which ones worked, but I wanted to mix some neutrals with kind of some warmer colors, because they just felt like welcoming and calm and like encouraging at the same time. So I wanted those colors to resemble that. And I really like going with like kind of abstract shapes. So like rainbows or just arches or things like that, I felt were like nice and rounded versus like finding the like stark ones of like the Enneagram one as an example. So I was trying to find differences there. And I ended up doing the entire Enneagram 2 set in a single night, which was kind of wild.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's taken some time. It's just a learning process of finding how much time you need to do something. But I spent maybe 2 weeks on the Enneagram 1 as an example, because I wanted those to be as perfect as possible. And for the reformers or perfectionists, so I spent a lot of time refining those and making sure that they looked good. So
that's so cool. if people want to find your earrings or maybe purchase them as a Christmas gift, where would they go?
I have my own Instagram page for my earring business called Shop Bryn Annika. I don't know, I don't do Instagram live a lot, so I'm going to see if I can pin that in there.
Yeah.
I think I can just put that in the comments, but let me see if I can do that quick. But yeah, I have my own Instagram page for them called Shop Bryn Annika. And I have been dropping new styles every single time, like every couple weeks, if I can do that. So you can check those out on there. Larissa, I think maybe since you started the live, I think you may have to pin it, but not positive. So,
how do you pin something?
That's a good question. I don't know if anyone watching knows how to
pin. Oh, I figured it out. Okay. I just pinned it.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Oh, there we go.
Yay, perfect. Learning new things.
I know, right? Me too.
That's so cool.
So I've seen people do it before. I was just like, this is my first Instagram live interview or chat with you. So this is really fun. Thank you for having me on here. But yeah, that's how you find my stuff too. And I wanted to ask you too, for the people in my audience that don't know you super well, what has been your journey with music and like how did you get to where you are today? Just a little.
Yeah, I started playing the violin when I was 9 years old in Arizona. I was just in the public school system down there, and it was just class. We started in fourth grade, and it was just the instrument that I chose. I ended up really loving it, and I think a lot of that had to do with the teachers that I had in orchestra. They were just so nurturing, and the one-on-one aspect of being in an orchestra and the teachers that I constantly just had and ended up being with in high school, in middle school. For some reason, the teachers were just always some of the most encouraging teachers I ever had. So I think that was a big part of me continuing in music. And then in high school, it was something I was taking really seriously. I was just practicing every single day. And I joined a youth symphony and was doing more competitions in music. And I was deciding, I went to Hope College as well. And at Hope, I was deciding between majoring in music and biology. And my
Oh my
freshman year, I
God.
was trying to do both of those things. And
Oh.
it just ended up being that I just wasn't really passionate about biology like I was with music. So I dropped biology my sophomore year. And then I just kept up with music. And then I got a master's degree in arts management. And I started working at the Grand Rapids Symphony in management. So I've been working there for like 5 years now. And on the side, I teach violin lessons and I play in the Holland Symphony and I play in weddings. So it's like
Wow.
I never imagined myself working full time in music, but it's amazing to see how that has happened.
Oh, we have a question. What are we talking about? So that's my friend Lauren, who's a content creator with me. And we're just talking about our artistic backgrounds, how we got to where we are. So Larissa is a professional musician. And she plays how many instruments?
Mainly the violin. I can play a little bit of piano, and if I sit down with the guitar, I can learn chords on a guitar.
See,
Yeah.
that's crazy to me that you can do that. Because just the fact that you can figure something out on your own musically blows my mind. Because never
Oh,
in a
really?
million years would I be able to just sit down and be like, oh, I can, like, I'd be out here without a kazoo. Like, this is all I
Yeah.
got. So I'm
Yeah.
incredibly impressed with everything you can do. But yeah, we were basically just talking about our backgrounds, and she just mentioned that she was choosing between music and biology in college, and she ended up going the music route and going full time with that. So that's.
Yeah. And actually, so I asked Bryn to be on this live interview, and a few months ago, when lockdown started, I had a lot of extra time because all of my concerts had been canceled, and I just decided, what can I do with my time to, be creative, try something new? So I decided that I would start a podcast. And I think we lost Bryn. The internet's a little bad. But yeah, I decided to start a podcast. And I'm going to re-invite Bryn back into our interview. So I decided to start a podcast. And I know so many artists, so many musicians. Bryn's coming back. We got you back. So I don't
Got
know
me
how much you
back.
heard of what I was saying.
Just a tiny bit. Sorry.
Okay, so I was talking about the reason I asked you to join me on an interview was that back when the lockdown initially started, I had a lot of extra time because a lot of my concerts were canceled. The performing the arts in general, as you were very aware, all of our stuff was just like put on hold. And I had all this extra time, and I was like, what can I do right now that would push me creatively? And I was like, wow, I should start a podcast and I should interview people who I know who work in the arts because that would be interesting to me. So I have interviewed over the last few months. You're my 22nd person that I've interviewed.
Wow.
I have a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's called Live Notes with Larissa. And I've been doing live Instagram interviews with who I think are noteworthy artists. And you're one of those. But you guys can find this. I'm going to turn this into audio for a podcast later, and it will be on Spotify. So that'll be
That's so
exciting.
exciting. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means
And
so much to me that you asked me on here also. Thank you. That it's an honor coming from you.
aw, well, honestly, you're amazing, Bryn. You are so creative. I think you're so talented in so many ways.
That means a lot coming from you, because as are you. And it's, I think with COVID, it's been hard on every single person. Like, there's no way that this has not affected every single person in this world right now. And so I feel like in those times, like, there are moments too, like, where I went through some really tough spots of like, I can't get through this, and I don't know what to do with myself right now. And then eventually, like, I had to push through it just to find something to kind of get through the day. And so that was working on content creation and kind of building my artistic resume in other fields than the performing arts, since you can't really do a lot of the performing arts as they are right now. So it's been a really cool process of figuring out what I can learn about beyond the majors that I've been a part of for 4 years, because dance and theater were my whole life. And now that I didn't have anything, like not even my day job of teaching, I had to kind of expand on that and, find what else you could do. So to all those people, you guys find something that you love. That's something that you've never before, or maybe you haven't had the confidence to do. I hope it didn't. Did it freeze at all?
Say the last
Can you
part
guys
of
hear
what
me?
you were saying one more time.
I was just saying, for anybody who has maybe been sitting on a project or hasn't had the confidence to do that yet, like, now is your time. There's always room for discovery and growth, especially in this weird time of quarantine, and also close to Christmas break. So I encourage you guys to go for it. You have nothing to lose.
I mean, I think you and I are both, and I'm not saying this to like lift myself up and like say I'm the best person ever because I'm not. But you and I both, I think, are examples of that. We've been restricted. You started an earring business, and I started making a podcast. And that's for me, that's something like before that, before this whole crazy stuff in our world, I never would have thought of doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, I think is good, and it can open up new things for you that you never thought possible. And yeah, but to close out our little interview, Bryn, the thing I've been asking, and I think you touched on this a little bit already, but the thing I've been asking all of my guests is why do you think the arts, this is very broad, but why do you think the arts in general are so important to people and society?
Oh my gosh, I think the biggest thing is it gives people hope, and it gives them something else to focus on. It's funny because I think people didn't realize how important the arts were until there weren't any. When there weren't any performances, there weren't shows, you couldn't go out to the movies. All of those things bring community, and they bring collaborations between people. So in that time of lockdown, when people weren't even going outside, and it was basically just like going to the grocery store, the things that we relied on, I feel like the first week when I didn't know what to do with myself, the thing I relied on was like watching Netflix, or watching a movie, or
That's
reading a book. And
true.
all of those things, we're like surrounded by art, and we don't even realize it half the time. So, it's sad in some ways to see like our country doesn't really value arts as much as other countries do. But I mean, they are so important. That's what brings us peace after a long day at work. Or some people are lucky enough that, you're doing it, your art, as a full-time job, and that's what feeds you, just like what you get to do. But in so many ways, for people who are not artists, art is still a part of the day-to-day life, but we just don't recognize it as much because it's our day-to-day life. So
yeah.
I feel like our world would be so sad and there would be such a lack of color and lack of expression and inspiration if we didn't have it. So
yeah, I agree. So
like how awesome.
Yeah, and I love what you post, and I think the arts too can be so thought-provoking. And your Instagram page, you always you just have such uplifting and thought-provoking captions, which I also think is art. You know, your photography and what you're showcasing on your profile, and you know, I think you are bringing hope to the world too with what you're doing. And that's super exciting to see. And everything that you're making and presenting to the world, I think, is inspiring and bringing beauty to the world. So I would encourage you to keep doing what you're doing as well, because you're awesome. But Bryn, to officially close out, can you just one more time give everyone your website and your Instagram and any other way that they can connect with you?
Sure, yes. So I just put my link to my earrings right there in the comments. So Larissa pinned it. Another thing is that I donate 10% of the proceeds of every single month to a different organization. So this time, the 10% of my proceeds for November and December, because I started in late November, so I wanted the full month. Those will be going to help sex trafficking victims. So you guys can, every time you buy a pair of earrings, they're also going to be going towards something as well, and also supporting a small business. And then my Instagram handle is Bryn Annika, and I think you can see that at the top for the live with Larissa. But those are the two that I'm working on right now. So
yeah,
I hope to connect with you guys on Instagram again.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Bryn, it's been so great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me. And this will also be a podcast soon, so I'll share it with you, and then you can have it for years to come.
Thank you so much, Larissa. It was so good to talk to you tonight.
Yeah. You too.
Have a good rest of your day.
You
Bye,
too.
Everyone.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope to see you at the next episode. If you'd like more information, check out my Instagram account at larissa.fall and visit my website, larissafall.com. Bye!